From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. On today's broadcast, we continue a series of studies in Paul's Epistle to the Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought taken from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, We Dare Not Doubt. The text is Isaiah 45 and verse 2. I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. This was for Cyrus, but it is evermore the heritage of all the Lord's own spiritual servants. Only let us go forward by faith, and our way will be cleared for us. Crooks and turns of human craft and satanic subtlety shall be straightened for us. We shall not need to track their devious windings. The gates of brass shall be broken, and the iron bars which fasten them shall be cut asunder. We shall not need the battering ram nor the crowbar. The Lord Himself will do the impossible for us, and the unexpected shall be a fact. Let us not sit down in coward fear. Let us press onward in the path of duty. For the Lord hath said it, I will go before thee. Ours not to reason why, ours but to dare and dash forward. It is the Lord's work, and He will enable us to do it. All impediments must yield before Him. Hath He not said, I will break in pieces the gates of brass? Who can hinder His purpose or balk His decrees? Those who serve God have infinite resources. The way is clear to faith, though barred to human strength. When Jehovah says, I will, as He does twice in this promise, we dare not doubt.
Praise the Holy God of love.
In this day of many uncertainties, the political unrest, widespread violence, and moral confusion, people are asking, what is it all about? What does life mean, or does it have any meaning? Thankfully, there is one place where despairing men, women, and young people can find the answers to those questions, the Holy Bible, God's inspired, inerrant Word. The Apostle Paul, speaking of the gospel, wrote, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed." He was referring to the righteousness that God gives to sinners on the basis of Christ's death on the cross. A medical doctor who found life's answer in Christ has written a brief summary of the central teaching of the Bible in a booklet called The Meaning of Life and the Love of God. In a few clearly written pages, he explains how sinners can find forgiveness and redemption in God's blessed Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. For a free copy of The Meaning of Life and the Love of God, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of The Meaning of Life and the Love of God, and we'll be happy to provide it. Continuing this series in the book of Romans, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of this message called The Standard of God's Righteous Judgment. Paul emphasizes that God will never deviate from his own standard. Without question, the righteous judgment of God will reflect the character of the judge. God is righteous of necessity, so his judgment will be according to the absolute rightness of his being, not by any standard of man. Also, we'll see that God's judgment will reflect his goodness. Now here is Dr. Cairns to continue this message, The Standard of God's Righteous Judgment.
Now let me tell you, God does not become righteous. God is not righteous because he chose to be righteous rather than unrighteous. God is not righteous because he adopted righteousness. God is righteous because that is what he is, eternally, essentially, immutably. If I could put it this way, God could not be without being righteous. God could not be without being all that he is. God is. And that's an end of it. God is. He is what he is. By eternal, essential necessity. In man, righteousness signifies a conformity to an external standard, the standard that's set by divine law. I want you to understand that. Righteousness is an absolutely perfect conformity to the standard that is set by the law of God. That's righteousness as far as men are concerned. But that's not the meaning of the word when it's applied to God. The law does not make God righteous. God, because he is righteous, produced the law. God is not righteous because he conforms to the law. The law is righteous because it conforms to God. It reflects its giver. So when you speak of righteousness in God, you're not speaking of his conformity to anything outside of himself. Righteousness is God's perfect consistency with his own holy nature in all that he is, in all that he says, and in all that he does. Righteousness in God is his own perfect self-consistency. When we speak about the righteous judgment of God, therefore, we're speaking about the moral government that God exercises in a way that is always perfectly consistent with himself. Now, bear with me. I know that I'm covering a little theological ground tonight. And I know that there are people who have been taught that theology deadens. Don't you believe it? If the doctrine of the Word of God deadens your soul has never been quickened. Now, I know that there are people who can make anything dead. But bear with me, because this is certainly something that I hope you will see is mightily important. The psalmist David in Psalm 9, verse 16, makes this striking statement, by the judgment which he executeth. The Lord is known by the judgment which he executeth. No wonder in our text Paul speaks about the judgment, the righteous judgment of God, as a revelation. The word is an apocalypse. God draws away the veil. You can't think of the word apocalypse without thinking about the last book of the Bible and the great climactic events of all the ages. Certainly when Paul is speaking about the revelation, the apocalypse of the righteous judgment of God, he is hastening us on in thought to that last great day when we will all stand before God. And let me tell you, it will then be abundantly clear that David was absolutely right when he said, the Lord is known by the judgment that he executes. For his judgment is righteous judgment. And it will reveal the character of the judge. On that day, hear me as you love your souls. On that day, men will realize that God is not what they have conceived him to be. Men will realize that God is not the impotent little idol that they have manufactured. God is not the glorified Santa Claus that they have envisaged. He is not some doddering old white-bearded man sitting in the heavens with everything out of control. His judgment will reveal him as he really is. He is the righteous judge before whose glory the very angels of heaven tremble. His judgment will not be clouded by the folly or the frailty or the faults of human judgment. His judgment will not proceed upon empty sentiment, but rather according to the standard of absolute rightness. The standard of absolute rightness is that which is established by God, by what he is, and by what he has laid down in his law and in his gospel. When I talk about absolute rightness, I realize that I am going contrary to the notion and the prevailing opinion of the day in which we live. We live in a day when the absolute is poo-hooed, when everything is made relative. And of course, it's made relative to man, relative to what man wants, relative to how man can get up an excuse to be as vile as he can be. But when all the philosophers of the 20th and the 21st century are dead and gone, and the relatives have been damned in the absolute hell that they denied, the absolute rightness of God will stand. God will not judge men by the standards of other men, but by the absolute righteousness of his own being, and by the absolute righteousness of his law and of his gospel. And God's judgment will not fail to be executed by any lack of wisdom or any lack of power or any lack of justice. No case will perplex him. No foe will frustrate him. And no sinner will escape him. Remember what I'm proving. The judgment will reflect the character of the judge. But I have to add that God's righteous judgment will also reflect not just his wisdom, power, holiness, and justice, but his goodness. His goodness. The goodness of God will be obvious in the judgment in two ways. First, in the exclusion of all sin and sinners from heaven. You may wonder, how does that show the goodness of God? Does God love the saints in glory? Does God love all that He has created in the paradise above and those for whom He has created it? Well, then, it is love and goodness in God to say, as He does in the 21st chapter of Revelation, that nothing that defileth shall enter therein. It is as much the goodness of God as the justice of God that excludes sinners and sin from heaven. For thank God, the Eden above will never suffer the fall and the disaster that befell the Eden below. Thank God, the Eden, that is the purchase and the product of the precious blood of Jesus Christ, will never be defiled, because all that God is stands guard to say nothing that defileth shall enter therein. But the goodness of God will be seen in the judgment, in His provision of a righteous way of salvation for sinners who cannot by themselves attain to righteousness. Remember what I said righteousness is, as far as we are concerned? It is a conformity, a true, absolute conformity to the perfect righteousness of God. Where does that leave us? Where is there a man who can possibly stand up and say, I meet that standard? There's not one other than the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. Ah, but that's the key to the gospel. Let me tell you, no man on earth can meet that standard. Not the most religious, not the most prayerful, not the most self-sacrificing can possibly meet that standard. And if the Romish doctrine of purgatory were true, which it is not, even 10 million years of suffering in purgatory could never, never, never allow any man to say, I have attained to the righteousness that conforms perfectly to the absolute perfection of God. So where does that leave us? It leaves us depending on the righteousness that God has freely provided in Jesus Christ. Righteousness, as it is used in Scripture, is very largely a legal term. It envisages us standing at the judgment bar of God. And along comes the Lord Jesus Christ, our living Savior, our living head. He says, I lived for these people, invested with a perfect righteousness, an imputed righteousness, a righteousness earned by works that are not my own, a righteousness that God accepts. Oh, here is the righteous judgment of God in accepting those clothed with the righteousness of Christ. It is, I trust it will not be the only time, otherwise it will be for our destruction, but it is certainly in the judgment that those who stand at the great white throne will have the revelation of the full character of the judge. The righteous judgment of God, then, will reflect and reveal the character of the judge. But second, the righteous judgment of God will reveal the state of all who come before Him. When the judgment morning dawns, The nations are gathered to judgment around the white throne. When men of every class, caste, color, creed, and culture stand before God, the judgment of God will rip away every facade. It will destroy everything behind which men hide from God's truth. And it will show them what they really are.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We are here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.